Welcome to River of Hope this morning. It's our honor, our pleasure that you have chosen to join us in worshiping this morning. We've been working our way through the book of Romans, slowly but surely, and I believe we've been painting a very clear picture for everyone, not only the equality of humanity, but how we're all in a fallen state. We are all broken without Christ. And really what Paul is doing in his letter to the Romans, he's really making sure that people understand that there is no pyramid to this relationship. There is no ability for one person to be in a more advantageous state of needing salvation. Does that make sense? That there's not one of us who are in a better place than another as far as our brokenness, as far as our sinfulness, as far as our character and a relationship with Christ. We're going to jump into Romans chapter 3. We covered 1 through 20 last week. I'm going to read verse 20 just to kind of give a quick recourse of last week. For no one can ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands. The law simply shows us how sinful we are. So last week we were really talking about really beginning to recognize at our core who we are. And that's equal for every single person in God's creation. Paul, through the early portions of chapter 3 that we were covering last week, was questioning, is there really an advantage to being a Jew instead of somebody that is outside of the nation of Israel? And in his case that he's presenting, it is, you know what, no. There is no advantage. The only difference between Jew and Gentile is that the Jews have been given the law and they've had truth revealed to them. But as we've already covered, studying through Romans, all of us know on some level that there is a creator. Even if we don't understand the relationship that creator is God, whom we know and believe, they know there is a creator based on what they see in creation. Now, you're going to hear a lot of arguments from all sorts of different people, especially in our culture where people are very free and open and vocal about their beliefs and maybe their fight against God or against the idea of creation, evolution, those things. Paul is telling us that if you boil it down to the simplest truths, and maybe this is before you've seen or you've heard these other arguments that might compel you to believe differently, that you have in your core the belief that we didn't just appear from nothing, that we have been created and that we have a purpose. Let's move on into Romans chapter 3, starting in verse 21. We're going to finish out the chapter 3 today as we work our way through Romans. Let's pray before we pick up our text. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you that we can continue reading through Paul's letter to Rome, to the people of Rome. Lord, I thank you for the truth that we can see as it just begins to pop out in our minds as our eyes are open and we can see the truth in your text and in your word. I just ask that your spirit would continue to move through me as I speak, that nothing that would come from my mouth would be apart from you, that your spirit would guide me as I speak. Lord, I ask that you would open our hearts and open our minds to receive the message you have for us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week, I told you, you know, we had kind of a heavy week. It was kind of a hard week to sit and listen. You heard about our sinfulness. You heard about our brokenness. And maybe you really begin to understand on another level how void we are of righteousness, of being anywhere near someone that is able to be in right relationship with God. And I told you, you know, hey, next week we're gonna hit that first word in our text is but, and the word but is always a transition in text. So you're going through this whole long section that's just kind of ripping us up and tearing us apart and saying, hey, you're broken, but that's where we're picking up today. So I hope you've got a little bit of excitement this morning as we hear this portion of text. Verse 21, but now God has shown us a way to be made right with him without keeping the requirements of the law, as was promised in the writings of Moses and the prophets long ago. We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ, and this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God freely and graciously declares that we are righteous. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty for our sins. For God presented Jesus as a sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. This sacrifice shows that God was being fair when he held back and did not punish those who sinned in times past. For he was looking ahead and including them in what he would do in this present time. God did this to demonstrate his righteousness, for he himself is fair and just, and he declares sinners to be right in his sight when they believe in Jesus. Verse 27, can we boast then that we have done anything to be accepted by God? No, because our acquittal is not based on obeying the law, it is based on faith. So we are made right with God through faith and not obeying the law. After all, is God the God of the Jews only? Isn't he also the God of the Gentiles? Of course he is. There is only one God, and he makes people right with himself only by faith, whether they are Jews or Gentiles. Well then, if we emphasize faith, does this mean that we can forget about the law? Of course not. In fact, only when we have faith do we truly fulfill the law. But now God has shown us a way to be made right with him without keeping the requirements of the law, as was promised in the writings of Moses and the prophets long ago. If you've been up to date with our study through Romans, you've seen Paul articulating very clearly the requirements of the law, the Ten Commandments that were delivered by Moses to the nation of Israel. He's also given the context or the direction of that conversation to say that, hey, nation of Israel, just because you were given this knowledge and you were given this advantage by knowing the truth, you are not in a better place than the Gentiles. Instead, you are in a place that requires more accountability. So yes, you are an advantage because you know and you understand the law. You know and you understand the truth. But that truth does not give them an advantage. It gives them a greater need. I want to make sure I say this clearly. It doesn't give them any higher status in humanity. It does give them a higher calling. I want to make sure that I'm clear with this because I don't want anybody to be confused. They are no closer to God based on knowing that truth. But because they know that truth, they are more accountable to it. Does that make sense? But now God has shown us a way to be made right with Him without keeping the requirements of the law, as was promised in the writings of Moses and the prophets long ago. A lot of the Jewish customs are geared and focused on remembering their past, but they're also geared and focused on the law. And the argument you will get at times is that if we follow the law, will we not be accepted into heaven? Will we not be accepted when we die? The argument, as we could see Paul delivering through Romans, is that all of us, the last week our message was all of us are sinful. All of us are broken. All of us are fallen. Not one of us have been able to live by the law, no matter how we try. The other thing we need to understand about the law is that if you break one of them, you've broken all of them. It's not like you can knock on heaven's door and they open and say, well, you know, I got 9 out of 10. I'm doing pretty good. That's not how it works. We cannot just be justified by our own actions and by our own attempts at following the laws God has given. But God has shown us a way to be made right with Him without keeping the requirements of the law. Verse 22, we are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. Catch this. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. This is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. That is a statement that releases a huge weight off of each and every single one of us. When we boil our relationship with Christ down to the easiest thing to understand, and maybe that's just this, that we are broken, right? We are sinful. At our core, we are sinful. If we understand that at our core we are sinful, then we can also understand that we need someone to save us. We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. I believe we all can agree to that statement. If we truthfully assess our lives, we can agree to that statement. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God freely and graciously declares that we are righteous. He did this through Christ Jesus when He freed us from the penalty of our sins. In these three verses, we've already been given the broken to whole picture. Paul's already painted that picture of, hey, we're all broken. We're all a lost cause. But through faith in Jesus Christ, He has freed us from the penalty of our sins. Verse 25, for God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. And people are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. This sacrifice shows that God was being fair when he held back and did not punish those who sinned in times past. For he was looking ahead and including them in what he would do in this present time. God did this to demonstrate his righteousness. For he himself is fair and just, and he declares sinners to be right in his sight when they believe in Jesus. Something that, as believers, we need to return to is the power of the gospel of Jesus. These last 8-9 verses. When you get up in the morning, if you can understand that without Christ, without faith in Jesus Christ, I just return back to the brokenness that I was before. But God is fair and just, and he declares sinners to be right in his sight when they believe in Jesus. If we get stuck in the mentality that we have to have this checklist of actions or things that we do or ways that we live, we're going to begin to take our focus back off of Jesus and put it back on ourselves and what we can do to reach him. But if we can bring ourselves back every morning to realizing, you know what, Jesus, you have saved me. In whatever state of brokenness, in whatever state of sinfulness I was in, you reached down and saved me. I did nothing to get to you. That's a powerful and impactful image. To know that in our worst state, Jesus Christ loved us. Cared for us enough to reach down and bring us out of that darkness, out of that sinfulness, out of that pit we may have been in. Verse 27, can we boast then that we have done anything to be accepted by God? No. Because our acquittal is not based on obeying the law, it is based on faith. So we are made right with God through faith and not by obeying the law. We are made right by God, right with God by faith. Does that mean that we should break the law? So we are made right with God through faith and not obeying the law. After all, is God the God of the Jews only? No. Isn't he also the God of the Gentiles? Of course he is. There is only one God, and he makes people right with himself only by faith, whether they are Jews or Gentiles. That right there is every single person on earth's ticket. Do you need to restore yourself to a different place in life before you reach out and receive Christ? Do you need to break habits and get your life back in order before you receive Christ? Do you need to move to a different place or get in a different relationship? Do you need to do anything along those lines before you receive Christ? The answer is no. What you need to do is realize your state. Maybe it's not you. Maybe it's your neighbor. Maybe it's your coworker. But if you can realize that your state is broken, but by faith in Jesus, you can be restored. There is only one God, and He makes people right with Himself only by faith. Doesn't matter what race, what gender, what, doesn't matter. Faith is what matters. In verse 31, well then, if we emphasize faith, does this mean that we can forget about the law? We've already covered this question in the last 2 weeks. Does this mean that we can forget about the law? Of course not. In fact, only when we have faith do we truly fulfill the law. That's an interesting statement. Only when we believe in Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross for us, only when we believe that do we actually fulfill the law. Because Jesus fulfilled the law. Living His perfect life, living without sin. And dying as a sacrifice for us. Shedding His blood on the cross for us is what fulfills the law. At a different time, we will work our way through some of the Old Testament and working our way through the sacrifices and the sacrificial system. It's a lot to digest. It's a lot to go through, but we'll do it at some point. But when we do, you're going to see this picture of the requirements of the law that God gave the nation of Israel, of ways that they could give offerings to work their own sins out and to work on their own relationship and covenant with God. It was through a sacrificial system. Heavenly Father, I thank You. I thank You for the sacrifice that You made for each and every one of us, to restore us from our broken, sinful state into a right relationship with You. I thank You that You have directed us to call ourselves to remember that sacrifice. Lord, we just ask that You would help us to continually remember each and every day the glory of Your gospel message and the full weight of what that message means to each and every one of us. We thank You, Jesus. We praise Your holy name. We ask a blessing over each person as they go about their way today. In Your heavenly name we pray. Amen. Thank you all for coming out today. Have a great afternoon.